It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at KNTRTalk.com and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Tuesday, August 9th, 2022, and I feel like there's a pre-dawn raid brewing. We have a surprise visit by the police chief.
Yeah.
I either have warrants or there's going to be a pre-dawn raid, right?
Or both.
Yeah, more likely you have warrants.
Just bring that up just a tad for me, chief. This right here. There
got
you
it?
Go. Yeah, we got it. We got it. It's perfect. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. City Manager Jess Knudsen is here, along with Police Chief Dan Doyle. Chief Doyle, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
So we're not going to see you on Monday?
No.
This coming Monday, you have a standing date with us.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, he has an assistant, too, just like you have the other city manager.
The other city manager? Sure. Jerry Recamani?
Yeah, that throws you the emails and that. She does the same for Chief Doyle.
Yeah, no, good morning, Paul. Good morning, everybody. Merry Tuesday. Police Chief, we're here together to talk about things we normally talk about as far as the agenda goes. But our police chief, Chief Doyle, has had a storied career here in Lake Havasu City,
right.
And he's announced his retirement here in a couple of months. And just wanted to make sure that everybody kind of understood all the great things that the chief has done and over the three decades.
Yeah, it sounds bad. When you put it that way.
It's a lot of decades.
I started when I was 8.
3 decades.
Yeah.
Nice. Nicely done, yeah. Jess.
So that advertisement is out there for the police chief position, and obviously that individual is going to have some big shoes to fill, right?
Oh, exactly. I couldn't figure out if there was an item on the agenda that was very Lake Havasu City Police Department centric, or if this was just like a tribute show, or we were going to roast Chief
roast.
Doyle.
Yeah, let's roast him.
Roast.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Three
decades.
That'll
be fun, right?
He's bald.
I don't go there.
I actually started off with a full head of hair.
And you, as a guy with a pretty good head of hair, Jess, probably shouldn't go there either. It's bad hair karma.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's why I have such good hair. I don't make fun of bald people.
Oh, is that's how it
unless
works?
I just did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell me, I need to get to baseball and all that stuff in a minute, but the chain of command, I thought, well, you guys are on equal footing because you're both directors or...
No.
But you're not.
No.
That's
no.
Interesting. So you're actually Chief Doyle's boss.
Correct.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So there are three council-appointed positions within the city. That's our magistrate, Judge Clawley, our city attorney, Kelly Gary, and myself as the city manager. And I'm appointed with responsibility of managing the day-to-day operations of Lake Havasu City. And through that process, the department heads report directly to me, including Chief Doyle and Chief Palafis and all of our many other executive team.
I was thinking along the lines of Sheriff Schuster, but you're not elected. That's why.
Did you vote for me?
No, but that Sheriff Schuster always says that the county supervisors are his boss.
Yeah, because they're elected.
And that makes sense now.
Yeah, because they're elected.
Okay. Totally makes sense. Yeah. So being that you're an appointed position.
Police chiefs are appointed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did it come about that you became police chief? Did you start at the ranks there like a Troy Sterling or let's see, who was the PIO? Joe Harold was there. Who am I thinking of that went to work for Jim Russell?
I don't know. Richie Sloma.
Richie Sloma, you do know. You do know. All right. Like, yeah. Richie, did you start in that capacity like a sergeant?
No, I actually started my career as a police chief.
Yeah, right, right.
Age 22, it was so amazing.
So where did you start?
So, no, I started as a police officer. In 1988, I got out of the Marine Corps and saw the advertisement. Here, you got me?
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. There it is.
Saw the advertisement and came up and applied because I used to visit here and really liked Lake Havasu. And started off as a patrol officer working the street. And just worked my way up, worked in detectives, and did the whole bit, promoted to sergeant, then lieutenant, then captain, and then was appointed to police chief in 2006.
Well, you must have furthered your education at one point or another so that you understood administration and budgets and that sort of thing.
Oh,
correct?
Yeah. So, I put myself through college. I'm a business major, FBI Academy, and then just various different trainings, education on how to become an administrator. There's one thing learning how to be a police officer, and then there's a whole other thing of when you learn how to actually be an administrator. And when you get to the, typically to the captain and chief level, you have to know how to be in a, you know, public administration, basically, how to manage a budget and, understanding that you're the role that the police department plays in the bigger city government. So.
I always say, to be an administrator, you have to learn how to answer a question without actually answering the question. Is that right?
No, that's it. That's the exact opposite of responsibility.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of the federal government.
Yeah, that's it.
We don't.
That's it.
At the city level, we do not.
No offense,
we
guys.
Don't get away with that.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
We don't get away with that.
All right. That's a bad hair karma there, Paul, with that comment.
That was bad hair karma?
Yeah.
I thought that would be bad administrative karma.
Yeah.
Which I'm not looking for that anyway. So.
I just actually have to point out, though, that bald is in. So,
oh.
I mean, it's really the thing.
Much
now.
More than it was when Telly Savalas was a star, right?
Yeah, he was ahead of his time.
Well, the thing I like about that is that you guys actually own it. You know, that in back in the day, you had very just gross, you know, the comb overs and that sort of thing. But no, you actually own it. That's great. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, not like I have a choice.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So, where did you go to school?
College.
Yeah.
The University of Phoenix.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, started at MCC. So I did my first 2 years here at MCC going traditional, and then I finished my degree online. Yeah.
So you were still an officer then, correct?
Yeah.
Driving a patrol car?
Yes.
We never have motorcycle cops here, have we?
Yes.
Do we?
Yeah,
forever. Oh, we do. Okay, yeah. I've never seen one.
Really?
So I must be driving on the right roads.
Well, I'll get on them about that, and I'll make sure you see one.
I'm sure. I'm absolutely positive of that. Ooh, I got to lay low for about 3 months, huh? Yeah, I should probably lay low. So what was your major when you did that? I'm just talking about for people that listen to this show, maybe they have a...
Business.
They're working towards a degree.
Yeah, business. So one of the things in law enforcement is a lot of... younger people, they graduate from high school and they want to get into law enforcement and they go to college. They're very focused on criminal justice degrees. And for us, you can do criminal justice, you can do business, you can do, we also like communication degrees. I always advise people, get a degree that's something that's going to help you down the road as you promote. And that's where business degrees, communication degrees, and those type of things as you move up in leadership really are very advantageous. Public administration is also a great degree. Criminal justice, we will teach you virtually everything you need to know in the academy. So get a degree that's going to benefit you further down the road.
Does that help a young person if they already have some college when they go to that, what is it, WLETA? Is that the name of it?
Yeah, the academy.
Yeah, WLETA. When they go to that Western Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy.
Very good.
Whoa!
Very
good. I got my acronyms down, right?
Hooked on phonics.
But yeah, right.
Yeah.
But like a person that went to college, got a degree, and then goes in the military, they
become an officer.
Become a lieutenant.
Yeah.
Does that help with law enforcement at all?
So no, it doesn't advance you. It helps you down the road once you're eligible and you can apply for promotion to sergeant. It's definitely a big advantage to have, and we really promote that. It's much easier nowadays to get a college degree because of all the online programs. Mm-hmm. And the online programs are much more economical than going to a traditional college. So there's a lot of opportunities. But there's definitely an advantage just, you know, for the officer too, by your writing ability is greatly expanded. We typically see much higher level
absolutely.
Of writing skills.
And that really helps with the report writing.
Absolutely.
That whole chain of evidence
absolutely.
Procedure.
So
yeah.
I'm very pro education. I'm a believer that, you know, college isn't for everybody. You know, I'm not one of the ones that everybody that graduates from high school has to go to college.
Right.
But I am very in favor of higher education and developing yourself and constantly developing yourself. You know, I just think, you know, lifelong learner, I believe in that, and constant growth. So,
right. Especially if you already know what you want. If you know you want a career in law enforcement and that. And Jess, I would say, I'm not sure when you went to school, but since then, it seems like the majors are much more targeted. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you could go for administration with the emphasis on nonprofits, that
right.
type of thing. I'm mm-hmm. like, what kind of major is that, you know? So,
yeah,
I mean, back
yeah.
in the day, it was just administration or public administration or business, you know, and now it's all targeted.
Yeah, very much targeted. When I went to grad school, it was for a master's in public administration with an emphasis on urban management.
Oh.
So the program was designed specifically for, you know, city management. Yeah, so you see a lot of that that's out there, which has opened up the door for people that want to pursue a career, whether it's in law enforcement or otherwise with the city. Or whatever they want to do. There's lots of opportunities out there.
So how often did you and Chief Doyle meet to get on the same page?
I have a standing a weekly staff meeting, executive a team meeting with all the department heads. We sit around the table and talk about the big issues that and the opportunities and challenges that are facing the city from the staff's perspective. So we meet as a group and then do our best to try to see what other departments are dealing with, and maybe there's something somebody else on the other side of the city or another department can assist with.
I got you.
A lot of coordination that needs to take place. So those meetings take place on a weekly basis, and they take a couple hours to get through it on a weekly basis. But a lot gets accomplished, and then. Chief, we meet every 2 weeks, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So then with the different department heads, we meet with one-on-one on a regular basis just to talk about, challenges in the departments, things are coming up, giving each other a heads up in terms of, operational issues that might be out there. And communication's good. Reaching out and helping each other is good. I try to promote as much as I can, that kind of the one team type of approach, and that goes
right.
Along those lines.
So I'm thinking about once a month you go into Jess's office and say, when do I get my training facility back? Which
actually,
is now the city
actually,
council chambers.
I don't think I've ever even asked him that.
No?
I'm
just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he has talked about how nice it would be to get it back, but
yeah.
He's very 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 kind about it. Yeah.
You guys still use that? The department still uses that, correct?
Yeah, yeah. We use it in between, and it's actually not so much the council meetings that really affect the use of that room, but we also have to use that room for all the planning and zoning and all the various commissions and such. So we just have to plan around it, but. We've done that for 20 some years, but yeah, it will be nice to have that training room available. We could schedule a lot more outside trainings and bring in people. So we are looking forward to that. That would be nice someday.
Perfect time for a break. I couldn't decide who was in charge here, so I went with the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, there
right?
you go.
But there will be Bob Seger in this segment somewhere.
Yeah.
All
well,
right?
I got to defer to the city manager for whatever.
That just seems so weird for me to be in a room where you're not in charge.
Yeah. Well, everybody has a boss.
Exactly. I got two right now. All right. Back with more in a moment. Again, we're talking with City Manager Jess Knutson. and Police Chief Dan Doyle, no, it is not a pre-dawn raid. It is not a surprise arrest. I am not being booked at the moment, right?
Yes, everyone's worried.
Not yet. Back with more in a moment. Excuse me, I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. This is the one that got you through cramming and finals and all that at North Dakota State,
yeah,
right?
Keeps you awake for sure. Yeah, gets you going. Yeah. Hey, kind of fitting. What you want? So we're asking the resident what you
every
want.
Every time I hear what you want, I think of you and the former general manager at Republic.
Cross.
I couldn't believe you brought in another Beastie Boys fan. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And he turned out to be even a bigger Beastie Boy fan than I was.
Matt, right?
Matt Cross.
Yeah, Matt Cross.
Yeah.
All right.
He's out in San Diego right now.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Same business?
Same business. He got transferred over there to take care of what I understand it was a big mess in terms of trying to get some service completed. Imagine that in Southern California.
No pun intended.
Yeah, well, maybe it was intended.
A big mess at a trash company.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, he's doing good things out there.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, and by Patio Paradise. And don't forget, if you want to catch us in anything, you can go to the archives at kntrtalk.com. You like that? You can catch us, right? Just saying. You don't need a pre-dawn raid to catch us in anything. I am just so stuck on that, Chief.
Yeah.
And you,
we've talked about it off the air.
Right, right.
Getting that feeling.
I was wondering why the other two officers were standing by the door.
Yeah. We're also on the Lake Havasu City app where you can find our archives, and that's available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. And we do have Diamondbacks baseball tonight against Pittsburgh Pirates. 4-game series. They won game one last night, 3-0. And they'll play tomorrow and Thursday. There's a Thursday afternoon game. But the big story, Friday, we're going to debut Cardinals football, even though it's preseason, right?
Yeah.
If the D-backs were maybe in third place, we might think about it. But
it's going with Cardinals?
It's not to be. Yeah, Cardinals and the Bengals. They're in Cincinnati.
Love it.
NFL preseason, probably won't see Kyler Murray. And you definitely won't see DeAndre Hopkins, because he's suspended.
Well, he's suspended for the regular season.
Oh.
He might see some action in the preseason.
I didn't know he could play in the preseason.
I believe so, yeah.
Right, but you might see Hollywood. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, that game's at 4:30. Kickoff, anyway, is at 4:30 on Friday. And that is August 12th, which is also my daughter's birthday. She'll be 30 on Friday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Don't even.
You got a round number birthday. Those are always fun, right?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Especially when it's your daughter.
Yeah.
Right. So.
How old were you when she was born?
28.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
You're older than me.
Yes, I am. I'm older than a lot of things.
Sorry, was that on the mic?
Yeah, I used to have a book that said... what was it? John McCain is older than this. Like, John McCain was older than duct tape. You remember that book?
Yes.
That was funny. All right. So, let's see. Where was I going with this? We're with City Manager Jess Knutson and Police Chief Dan Doyle. And I want to talk about that facility because we're going to transition into a new building at the City Hall campus.
Yeah.
And how's that coming along?
So we're going through the design phase and then all the rest too. So, the council has approved the design for the courthouse and the design for, in the past I've been calling it the design for a council chambers, but which probably isn't very descriptive of what we're actually talking about, for that space. It'd be, a second floor, about 2,700 square feet. And then that would be constructed not just for a city council chambers, to the benefit of those attending that meeting, much more so than the council members themselves. As Chief Doyle talked about, in that existing space, we also have our boards and commissions. So our Planning and Zoning Commission, airport, parks, we have our community resource coalition that's about to start. But when we're designing that that space at the courthouse is to be used in a much more of a flexible type of approach. So we have tables and chairs that can be moved for different meetings and so forth that would take place. And then from the courthouse operations, if they need a jury selection process or they need to do a training or whatever else too, that room would also be utilized for that space. And we're also designing it in a way that it could be used as a courtroom if the need arised immediately, and certainly down the road where that space could be then looked at as possibly that the third courtroom for that expansion. So, you know, sometimes I get a little lazy and some with descriptions because there's a lot going on and I need to move on to the next topic, and so I talk about the design of the council chambers. But that space that the council approved for the design has got many, many uses, and so I think I probably need to explain that a little bit more than I have in the past. So that design is happening right now, and then the intent is for the design of the courthouse and the design of the courthouse, council chambers, flex space that I need some help, Dan.
Yeah. Definitely. I was just listening, waiting for...
How about multi-use justice facility?
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. How do you squeeze the boards and commissions in there with that?
I don't know.
Another slash.
Well, and make it even longer?
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
Yeah, so we're moving, advancing the ball with those two designs. And then we'll be coming back to council with a construction contract. So, you know, there's been some conversations in the public, if you listen to some folks that haven't been watching, you know, exactly what's been happening, but kind of rely on rumors and other things within the community. The city council and the city has not spent money on the construction of that space just yet. So the first time that's going to happen here is probably about in the next 2 to 3 months. The design will be completed. We'll come back to council, and then council will consider a not-to-exceed a construction contract for that space. So, and at that point is we'll start construction if approved by council. And again, we have until August of next year, August of 2023, is when our lease expires with the county. And we've all agreed that it's we'll transition to the new courthouse space off of Acoma. And so we kind of have a handshake agreement in place. It's going to take a little longer to actually build that, but that's the plan, and that we'll be moving forward on that project here. I'll say 60 to 90 days, I think, would be a comfortable window.
So if you think like I do, you've got to think, and I don't even want to hear it. I know you were going to say something.
No, I wasn't paying attention.
you're not the first.
Yeah.
So if you think like I do, you've got to think that a city council chamber being used as a courtroom, there's got to be a precedent for this somewhere.
Sure.
Somebody has done this before. Have you researched that?
No, we've looked at that. And a lot of this, you know, what we're looking at for Havasu is very custom to our needs and our operations. So we don't want to take something that exists in another city and plug it in place, whether it's for this or any else that's out there. But at the same time, we research successes and failures in other cities and learn from that. There's a couple of different examples of those types of uses. Although when you get into like the bigger cities, these spaces are very, very specialized, right? So this room is for just that and that alone. We haven't found exactly what I've described, but that's something, a space like that would fit our needs in Havasu. So we're being creative in terms of how we design it to maximize the dollars and the use at the end of the day.
Yeah, you go to the county commission chambers, say in Vegas, it's almost like an auditorium, you know?
Oh, right.
Like a high school auditorium in Phoenix. It's very, very large to accommodate large crowds of protesters. So there you go.
Protesters, yeah.
All right, let's take a short break. Again, we're talking with City Manager Jess Knutson and Police Chief Dan Doyle. I'm still waiting for the barbs to come from Chief Doyle.
I'm being nice.
You're behaving today.
I'm being nice today.
So who's treating for lunch?
Yeah. Well, he said he started in 1988, so that he's spanned 5 decades
wow.
in Lake Havasu City.
That's a year before I got into...
5 decades.
I was still in broadcasting school in 88.
Yeah.
That's the year before my first radio gig, professional radio gig.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Absolutely. All right, again, the number 854-KNTR 928. 854-5687. If you want to talk to our city manager or police chief, I'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul LaVoy. That's when they come and they-
best friend. If you need him, he'll be there again. He's always willing to be second best. A perfect lodger, a perfect guest. Beautiful loser. Read it on the wall.
Wow, I've heard the live version of this, but I don't think I've ever heard the studio version.
I haven't.
It doesn't have as much soul, but it's still good. It's still one of my favorite Bob Seger songs, right? Jess, you've heard of Bob Seger, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's got a voice that's about as distinct as they get. It's fantastic.
Jess is a huge Johnny Cash fan, too.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, we just started playing Cocaine Blues by Johnny Cash. What a tough song. Not the studio version, but the live at Folsom Prison version. It keeps going and going and going. It's got about 9 verses to it. So, Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis Team Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. LesOlson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, OLSON.com/Kingman. And don't forget to put your money where your heart is. Shop local. That's a big deal right now.
Absolutely it is.
Shop local. Let's see. Where you wanted to talk about back to school.
Back to school this week is a big deal for all the parents and making plans and coordinating their lives to get their kiddos to the proper classrooms. So I just wanted to put out a reminder for all those just drivers and pay attention. There's a lot of kids on the street, I think, but the number I saw in the newspaper was like 5,100 kids are back to school in Havasu. So a lot of kids on the street. So slow down, look out for the crosswalks and all those types of things too. So,
Chief, what's the penalty for school zone violations here in Lake Havasu City? Do you know? Of course you know.
Yeah.
How would you not know?
I don't know. That's the judge's discretion.
Okay.
I'll put that. But
that is true.
It's definitely a good fine for doing it. It is more rare to get that, but we do have officers in the mornings and the afternoons that are out there, and they're monitoring with radar guns, monitoring those school zones. So, very heavy. We try to increase our enforcement and push the patrol officers up to the school zones in the morning. So you're seeing that heavy traffic in the mornings right now. Got to remind the parents, because a lot of times it's the parents hurrying up to drop their kids off that speed through the school zone or get into the parking lot, and then they're speeding through a parking lot. So they need to just take their time, get there a little early, and make sure that all the kids stay safe.
Do you think there's one school zone that gets more penalized than the other? Are there more tickets written in a particular school zone than another?
You know, off the top of my head, the biggest, we have some schools that the whole drop off is more difficult. You know, we always get a lot of complaints up at Starline, for instance, just because of where the school is situated and the residential streets around it, and where people are stopping and blocking people's driveways, what have you. But we also have a heavy traffic volume, much heavier at the high school, because a good portion of the students there are all driving to and from school. So our heaviest volume is the high school of traffic and that area. But then the next is probably the one we deal with the most is Starline.
Plus don't you have two streets there that are affected by school zone speeds? You have Palo Verde, and then what's the other street that comes
Kiowa.
Off of? Kiowa, right.
We got that funny intersection there with not just the intersection, but the entrance to the school.
Yeah.
And it just creates. Fortunately, there's a couple other ways to get into the parking lots, from the back of the school, and then you can also come in off the side street and get into the main parking lot from the back. So that helps.
That's got to be one of the longest school zones, distance wise, I have ever seen next to UNLV. There's one in front. There's a speed limit. I don't know. It's not 15, but it's very low, right in front of UNLV on Maryland Parkway, and it goes on forever.
Mm. Yeah, that's
forever and ever.
On Palo Verde there, then just down, we've got Telesis. So you go from the high school zone, and you go right down into Telesis.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then, Telesis, we've got the young kids, so all the way down to kindergarten. So we've got a lot of young kids crossing the street and moving around down there. So, yeah, again, you got to, prior to getting to Telesis, you got to be on your toes.
All right, let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I was going to call in about the subject. I live next door to Everglade and Rainbow, and a whole lot of them kids get out of school and cross Rainbow at Everglade. And they're, you know, it's 35 miles an hour down there on Rainbow, and they're going to get some more kids smacked by vehicles because they don't slow down. I actually think some people actually speed up, you know. And same with some of them kids getting out of school. They think they're in the Baja 1000 or in an off-road race or, you know, a road race course coming out of Everglades and going on to Bamboo and stuff like that. It's crazy here in the afternoon. And some officers should stake out the area some afternoon and see what I'm talking about. Because I'm surprised there isn't no, you know, lowered speed limit or even crossing for the kids at Everglades and Bamboo. There's no crossing there. You know, so, but that's it.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
We appreciate that. There's a word you're going to miss. Stakeout.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually do a lot of enforcement on Rainbow. It's a few things. It's a shortcut, but it's also a downhill street. So, yeah, we actually do a lot of enforcement there.
So we wanted to talk about short-term rentals and the availability, you know, in the renter's market and that sort of thing here in Lake Havasu City. And I was talking to you off the air about this proposal in Sedona where 15% of their rental market now is composed of short-term rentals.
Think about that. 15% of all the housing stock in Sedona. That's by far the largest in all of Arizona. I believe Havasu is number two, and we're about just short of 7%.
Yeah, I saw this morning. It's a station up in northern Arizona in Flagstaff called CAFF, K-A-F-F, and they have a news section, and it's on their website. It says the Sedona City Council will take up short-term rentals today. They will be discussing it's called Rent Local is the name of the program, to incentivize short-term rental owners that provide long-term affordable leases to local workers. The program would give homeowners of registered short-term rentals who provide at least a one-year lease to a local worker or a qualified displaced long-term resident a cash incentive to not only rent local, but also refrain from using the property as a short-term rental for 3 years. City officials say almost 15% of housing in Sedona are short-term rentals, and the meeting today is at 4:30. That's very interesting. That's some outside-the-box thinking. I don't know if that's something that Lake Havasu City would explore, but what are your thoughts on that, Jess?
I don't know. I mean, what we have is I'm very interested in learning more about what cities like Sedona are up to and how they're addressing short-term rentals. Each one is doing it a little bit differently throughout the area, but in Sedona itself, the dynamic there is unprecedented. If you want to work for the city of Sedona, if you want to work in the hotel industry or the restaurant or get a job in Sedona, and you want to move out there right now, you're living 30 to 40 miles outside of Sedona and driving into Sedona every day to work. There is no housing availability in Sedona whatsoever. And the price of property and the price of housing in Sedona is off the charts. You think it's bad in Havasu in terms of the price of a home or and the ability for a family to purchase a starter home or for somebody to attract an employee to Havasu and have them purchase a place to stay and a place to live. It's a situation on steroids that's happening in Sedona. So I was interested to see what issues cities are dealing with, and then I was interested to see what type of solutions and ideas that they come up with. So I'll definitely do some research. And thanks, Paul, for pointing that out. Looks like it would be an incentive for 1 year if the short-term rental owner would not use it as a short-term rental for 3 years. So,
right.
So a couple, right. And we're just reading a press release, right? So when I dig into something, I need to know what the ordinance says, what the policy says, what the rules say, and what's the budget behind it, and all those types of things. And but yeah, so very interested into learning more about that. Cities across Arizona are dealing with short-term rentals to a great degree right now, and we're trying our best to work together as best we can. The legislature passed some bill that
enforcement
was
enforcement rules, right?
Yes, kind of, sort of, not really.
Right.
We have a new short-term rental law that was signed by the governor, which made a law, and it goes into effect 90 days after he signs it, so another 60 days or so before that is actually in place and in Arizona. It does about 10% of what I wish it would have done.
Right.
We hear from a lot of residents here in Havasu. We have the paywall at the newspaper, right? So a lot of people read the newspaper headline and half of the first paragraph, and then in some cases react to that. And so what we hear a lot is like, oh, the governor signed a short-term rental bill into law, and it's going to solve all of our problems. It's like, well, no, it does not. We wanted it to go a whole lot further than what it actually did. For example, we were advocating for language in Lake Havasu City, and we got a portion of that language in this new law, but not nearly to the degree that we wanted it to. So we were asking for the bill to include language that if you're a short-term rental owner, you are required to provide annual notification to all your neighbors within 300 feet of your short-term rental property of the 24-hour emergency contact for that location. So and what we wanted to do there was that if there are tenants that are too loud and the neighbors feel that they're being disrespected and so forth, they'd call that 24-hour contact. We thought that would mirror some of the good things that have happened in Havasu before our ordinance was basically stricken by state action. How this bill reads is that if you're a short-term rental owner, you have to provide notification to everybody that in the neighborhood that touches your property line, so it's literally right next door or across the street, and you only have to do it once. As opposed to an annual update to let everybody know what's happening. What happens when the neighbors move out?
Right.
How are they notified of what's happening? So there's some holes in some of the legislation and now that the state law that we're trying to address and so forth. We are working at Lake Havasu City. We're working with other cities with their respective attorneys throughout Arizona for each city and administration and otherwise on what we can do to go a little bit further than what the law is going to allow us to do. And all we want to do is make sure that the existing short-term rental owners that are acting responsibly, perfect. Please keep doing that and address it the way that you're doing right now. It does not impact you whatsoever. But we have about 1% of our short-term rentals in Havasu that cause 99% of the problems, and that's what we're trying to address. And so there's a few things in there that help us to a certain degree. Paul, if you own a short-term rental in Lake Havasu City and you live out of state, and the police responds to a call of noise or another violation that takes place, and a citation per this state law is then written to the short-term rental owner. If they live out of state, let's say they live up in Wyoming or Idaho or Illinois or whatever it is, we send them that citation. Legally, they can rip it in half and don't even have to.
Yeah, how's that enforceable?
They're not properly served. So ever get a ticket through a photo radar?
Right.
You're not properly served. A law enforcement professional needs to serve that citation for it to be for it to take effect. So we're going to start hiring process servers and all across the state to serve these citations, right. And so there's a whole lot of holes in terms of the state law. We're going to do our best to take it to the step we need to. Again, we're not worried about the 99% of the short-term rental owners. We're worried about the 1% that caused 99% of the problems, and that's what we're addressing. And then on the internal side, we've had some meetings that Chief Doyle and his team and our co-enforcement, our city attorney, our customer service folks and admin folks, and we're sitting around the table trying to figure out how we can probably implement the tools and the process in place so that we can react to some of these things. We don't want to be a paper tiger. We don't want to update a city code based on a state law and put some words on paper and then not be able to say what we or to do what we say. So all those conversations are happening right now. We're hoping to take some language to council here probably in the next 60 days. I think we made the goal of trying to get something to council before the new state law goes into effect 90 days after the governor's signature. So, a lot going on there. And, but we hear that's probably, you know, terrible internet, short-term rentals, traffic on Cherry Tree. These are the complaints that that we hear the most at the city, and so we're trying to address the best that we can.
Well, the terrible internet could be there could be relief coming soon.
Yeah, so they're out there working.
They're
installing
Aloe,
their
right?
Aloe's out there working, installing their infrastructure right now, investing $50 million into Havasu. So that's a very good thing.
Chief, how have tools like the C-Scale ordinance that was passed by the council, how have those helped the police department with these short-term rental situations?
It definitely helps where when the base is the problem. I mean, it's definitely another tool for us to use, because that was one of the gaps in the original ordinance. Is we'd show up and it wasn't registering and violating the ordinance, but obviously the base was reverberating quite some distance. And that's typically what bugs people when that you hear that car coming, feels like a mile away, and you start hearing the bass. So it's a great tool that they gave us to be able to handle that. So
yeah, it seems like high frequency will carry over water, but low frequency carries through walls.
Oh yeah, yeah. It absolutely does.
Right,
oh, yeah, absolutely. So no, it's a great tool.
Yeah, interesting. Anything else you wanted to mention? There's a city council meeting tonight. Pretty light agenda, though.
Yeah, we didn't touch on a whole lot on the agenda, but there is a city council meeting this evening at 6 o'clock, second and fourth Tuesday of every month, right, Paul? And so we have a few items on that agenda. A lot of it is just taking care of the city's business in terms of reacting to some applications from the public and our ability to abandon some easements in certain areas where people want to build a garage or put in a pool and things like that. We have a final plat up in the Foothills area. We've had some response to that about there's a final plat for Foothills, and I mentioned that the things about that we hear a lot of concerns about from the residents, and some of that is that lately that traffic on Cherry Tree really is has come up quite a bit.
The one way in and one way out.
Yeah, so we have Foothills, and then when that's all built, it's we're looking at 697 homes. So call it 700 homes that that have been approved by previous council and by the city in previous years, dating back to 2006 with the development agreement that was executed, and one road in, one road out, and so there's some pains, and especially when we have construction vehicles that are out there and constructing some of those homes. But so we had some residents reach out about a concern with the final plat for 50 residential lots up in that area. We're not talking about the initial approvals for zoning and for construction and all the rest too. So this is the final step, and these lots have been approved many years ago by the city. A final plat simply is a document that will be, once approved by the city council, would be recorded with the county, and then that's where we identify what the property lines are going to be for that area, where the easements go, where the right of way is at. So we're literally talking about lines on a map, and so there's a. But so that'll be that's part of the city taking care of business this evening. Purchase of some vehicles to get in wastewater and development services, and we need a vehicle for our new code enforcement officer. So that's one thing that's on the agenda tonight. But overall, fairly light, and we'll see if we can change that at the next meeting.
So real quick, we got about a minute left. Is there a police chief search going on right now, or is that an internal candidate that's been already identified?
Are you asking for yourself, or
I'm asking? Yeah, I'm asking for news purposes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. So that there is a an advertisement for police chief that is posted on the city's website and in several publications throughout the state of Arizona, throughout our country. And we're going to be looking at internal candidate or candidates, and we'll be looking at external candidates. We'll have a very rigorous selection process in place. Chief Doyle will be part of that process, and we'll be bringing in some outside police chiefs as well, too, to help us with that selection process. We need to continue on with the good things that Chief Doyle and his team have done over the many years that he's led our police department.
I couldn't help but ask that question, seeing the word abandonment in the consent agenda three times.
So, oh, sure, yeah.
Since you're abandoning us.
I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
Perfect. I was just wondering if you wanted to apply for the police chief job, if that's where you're going to
I don't have the qualifications. Yeah, I wasn't an admin sit-on-my-butt major.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
I could come be your security guard here at the studio.
I might need one pretty quick. Absolutely. Thanks for being here, Chief. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Paul.
Absolutely, Jess. Thanks to both of you for being here. And we won't see you on Monday, though.
No, you won't. Unfortunately, I can't make it.
He's abandoning us again, right?
I'm just easing you into it.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. We will have Chief Pete here, so all is not lost.
It'll be a fire show then, huh?
Yeah.
Fire sale.
There you go.
All right. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with a final segment on Speak Out.
I spied a sheriff coming down the line. Authentic coughed as he cleared his throat. He said, come on, you dirty hack, into that district court. Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. On tomorrow's show, we've got Nikki Nickel from the Havasu Chamber and Esme Electric. Coming up next, Sean Hannity, Karate Man, after news and a short break. Take it safe out there. Stay hydrated, folks.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.